This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. It is an emergency podcast on a Monday, Dairy Brothers Tribecast, brought to you by our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com. You heard the open with our good buddy Nick Wilson voicing this. We did not expect to be coming on the air today and delivering you some material. And we will be back before the start of the season, maybe on Wednesday. Todd, we'll get something done. But today is a day that we've got to get into the latest comments by Tribe owner, Cleveland Indians owner, Paul Dolan, a Dairy Brothers favorite, I should add, right? I mean, that's pretty accurate.
I mean, favorite is favorite owner in Cleveland, in Cleveland sports? Yeah. I'm sure we will get into this. And to me, the Dolan family ownership is in spot one, and you know, Gilbert, Fan Gilbert, and Gilbert Jimmy are way below, and that's pretty much that. So yes, we have been fans and supporters of the Dolan family ownership for a long time. Dare we say Dolan family apologists over in the Dairy family?
Look, let's cut through the red tape immediately. Paul Dolan,
the chase, as Tan Mom would say.
yes, free to be me or whatever. So let's wrap a taste here for a second, as the great Martin Payne of WZUP Radio used to say. Paul Dolan has done his fair share of interviews recently with the media. He spoke first. Was it Castrovince? Who did he do his first one with? Anthony Castrovince of MLB.com. Then he spoke with Terry Pluto for the annual Softball Fest. And I like Terry. I'm a Terry Pluto fan. He actually put one of my letters in his Joe Tate book. So shout out to Terry Pluto. And today he spoke with our friend Zach Meisel of TheAthletic.com. Oh, by the way, I don't know what The Athletic's doing, firing or letting TJ Zuppe go or Zuppe go. I like Tribe coverage, so that sucks. Do you have any comment?
You're gonna blame Dolan for that one?
No, I'm not. But anyway, I digress. The Dairy family goes back a long history with the Cleveland Indians, and its support of the ownership based on the fact that we're at the games. Let's be honest here. I'm not there. I'm in Detroit. All right. I've lived here for over 20 years. You, Todd, have been a season ticket holder following the footsteps of our late father, who plunked over thousands of dollars on this franchise way before the Dolans owned it and way before the Jacobs owned it. When you, me, and him sat in Section 27 or Section 18, either one, at the old stadium and watched some bullshit-ass baseball for a long, long time. We've been there. We didn't come around in 94 or 95 when President Clinton was throwing out the first pitch in his Tribe jacket and his Block C hat. And we weren't learning of who Dennis Martinez and Wayne Kirby were, you know, and learning the game like a lot of our listeners. But what is happening over the last 24 hours with Paul Dolan making his now third interview with Zach Meisel, and all the defending that you and I have done of this owner, because, again, the payroll's coming down from $135 million to $117 million, and fans are pissed. And then he has the audacity today to do this interview with Meisel, which, quite honestly, made him look really bad, makes us as supporters look so bad because of what we've been through and how much, you know, sitting there, you and I at Game 7 in 2016, making the drive from Detroit. You call me at 7:30 in the morning. I need you. I'm there. The whole thing, the Rajay story, which we don't need to get into tonight. But I'm so passionate about this because this man who we've defended, openly admitting today to Zach at The Athletic that, you know, oh, Francisco Lindor, well, just enjoy him. Or I don't really know the pulse of the people. What are you talking about? We're now becoming a punchline again nationally. Articles are being written. SI.com, go to it and look. Indians fans may boycott. They should boycott like Pirates fans should. God, that sucks. You don't tell the fans that you should just enjoy Francisco Lindor. We have him for three more years. Quote, enjoy him and then we'll see what happens. End quote. No, don't do that. Like, what is going on? You can't talk like that to the fan base because there's not that many of you of us left. And now you're alienating the homers, like you said, Todd, the Dolan slappies. by making ridiculous statements. Not just come forward and say we want to keep him. He's a legend in our community. He's the best Indian we've ever had, maybe ever had, and we're going to do whatever we can to keep him here, and you can count on that. Period. End of quote. That should be it. This enjoy him shit is killing me today. I've been sick to my stomach since I've read that, and you sent it to me earlier today. And just this nonchalant stuff. Now are they even going to sell out the opener the way this guy's talking? I'm just so ticked off right now. I don't even know where to go. Oh, man.
Let me just, you know what I have to say to that? I'm applauding. It was fantastic. Woo.
I'm so mad. Like
I can feel that. You know what I love? See, this is real. What I hope our listeners understand. This is real passion and real love. What many of you don't know, and the majority of you don't know, is that my brother truly only cares about one, I would say one and a half sports teams, the Indians being one, and Syracuse basketball for the most part. But he is for Cleveland only. You are tribe first and tribe only. And you watch every game on your computer or on the package. You're watching replays. You are breaking it down. You read every article. You are all in for this team, as am I. I've been a season ticket holder. I've been a paying customer for years, and I am extremely frustrated as well. You know, when I read by the time we get around to paying the contract of $300 million, the contracts will be going for $1 billion. Ha ha ha! Just shut the fuck up. I don't understand how somebody who has handled the organization as well as he has. And it's all the positives we can talk about, the stability and the front office being the same and the patience and not stupidly spending, but when it came around the time they did actually spend money and just everything that goes around with it.
Sure.
And being good in the community and
awesome. Everything. Yes.
To be this tone deaf after you gave the first bad interview 2 weeks ago and you got tons of shit for it, to come back and basically try to cover your tracks on more than one occasion, this is, I'm not going to say it totally blew over, but this is blown over. The sports talk has moved on, right? We're in a 24-hour news cycle. None of this stuff ever lasts more than that. Back up to double down and make it worse and to make yourself sound so much cheaper is so unbelievably stupid when Thursday's the first day of the season. Not mention the fact that everybody on this team seems to be injured, and you're looking at a middle infield rotation of Brad Miller, Max Moroff, and Eric Stamets. To then come with this is so unbelievably ill-timed and stupid, I can't even imagine what they were thinking. My only thought was he figured, I'm going to give another interview because I'm going to try to make things better, but he only made things worse. And shame on you, Paul Dolan, for not being smart enough to just let this thing go away and bury yourself until July when the All-Star game comes around and inevitably you have to speak again.
You know, here's the thing, and it's Todd and Matt Derry, the Derry Brothers Tribecast, the emergency edition on a Monday. We had just recorded last week, but we had to do it today. And I direct messaged Zach today, and I told him we were going to do this. And I just wanted some questions for him, like, you know, what kind of mood was he in? What kind of context is it? And Zach was very down the middle and just said, you know, he knew what he was saying. He was fine. He wasn't standoffish at all. But there's a reason maybe that we don't hear from him a lot, and this is something, and I don't want to use the Detroit narrative each show because people get sick of it, but here in Detroit, okay, the Red Wings and Tigers are now owned by Mike Ilitch, the late Mike Ilitch's son, Chris, who doesn't publicly talk a lot either because I think he kind of knows too. I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer to make public comments, so it might be better that I stay in the back and not do much talking. Usually when Dolan did give the interview to Pluto before each season and whatever else, and even maybe toward the end of the year when they get ready for the playoffs, he'll do something. It's usually pretty vanilla and pretty bland. But I have no issue with the...
Right. Like, he gave an interview like that at the beginning of the year last year to Matt Underwood that they replayed on STO like a million times during rain delays. And it was, fluff. And that's fine. That's totally fine.
Right.
And by the way, when you bring up the Ilitches, It's the same thing when Randy Lerner was owner of the Browns. He knew nothing, right? So he did not want to speak, and he stayed. And everyone's like, "Why doesn't Randy speak? Why doesn't Randy speak?" Well, you know why.
Well, I think fans. I would not want to be a hypocrite and say that fans shouldn't hear from the ownership because they should. But in this instance, he's done his part. No offense to Zach, but if Zach said, "Hey, I want to dive deeper into something," yeah, you know what, Zach? I gave an interview to Anthony. I talked to Terry. I'm going to sit this one out. You know, and obviously for Zach, this is a home run for The Athletic, and it was a good interview. With that being said, I have no issue with the payroll coming down from 135 to 117. I don't care. I'm fine with it. Yan Gomes being traded, I'm over it. I'm over some of these big names like Edwin gone. I think you got to maximize your abilities sometimes and go, look, will Yan have the kind of offensive year he had last year again? I doubt it. You've got some guys like Roberto Perez. Eric Haas is going to be a good catcher. He hit very well in the spring, and I think they like him, and he's on the come. So that's all good. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, payroll's down. I'm not. I understand we had one playoff gate last year. And I was arguing this on Twitter with what's-his-nuts Goldhammer earlier today, who I don't even know, but whatever. I'm not even going to give him any love. But I wanted to argue that with him because, like, how do you – oh, they didn't lose money last year. How do you know? I think they did because none of y'all go to the games. Todd does, but that's about it. All right? I mean, is Sister Mary still alive? John Adams? Jeremy? There's a few others. That's about it. So don't give me this stuff about, they made money. They're on STO. And I know that's a subsidiary of Fox. But watch the commercials. See who's spending the money and how much money they're spending before you just go off and say, well, they're not. Absolutely, the franchise worth is up. But I don't think they're making money. You can't go from 16 and 17 to 18 where you have one game at home after spending as much money as they've ever spent, $135 million, and not lose money. I do believe they are. But where it sticks in my craw today is the Lindor stuff. Because we have a franchise player. We have a future Hall of Famer in our midst. And today it hit me driving home that he's going to be gone. Because some stupid comments and some woe is me routine. We're from Cleveland. Paul Dolan should be fighting for us and saying, damn it, I'm going to do everything I can to keep that smiling face number 12 here as long as we can. We love him and we want him here. No, instead it was, enjoy him. We control him for 3 more years. That is such a bad message to send to a fan base that's already very, very shaky, on shaky ground with this man. And it's too bad. It is. That's where it hit me today.
Let me just say that it should have hit you a long time ago. You're smarter than that. I know that you really, really hit you today. And I happen to agree with you. I have been preparing for this for a long time. As great as when he the big rumor was last, I believe it was either last year or 2 years ago, they offered him whatever it was, $100 million, $200 million, whatever, and he turned it down. Okay, his agent wants him to get the free agency. Okay, that's just the reality. And this is a conversation that you and I have had a million times and that everybody's had. The baseball system is broken. And until guys like Paul Dolan and the Glass family in Kansas City and the Stuart Sternberg in Tampa and the small market owners band together and essentially say, we're not going to take this anymore, nothing is going to change. And that's just how it is. But it also doesn't mean we can't compete, because we've proven that we can compete. Hell, the Indians should have won the World Series in 2016. Okay? That's a fact. With a payroll under $100 million. So there are ways to compete. Obviously, our margin for error is a lot slimmer than the big market teams who can overspend. But it's not like can't compete, but the system is broken, and you can't. The one thing, listen, I hate the NBA. Okay, I don't watch the NBA, as you know. I can't stand it for a variety of reasons. But the way their system has set up is that if you have your own player, you can pay him more than other teams can pay him. That's basically how they structured things, so these superstars can stay if they choose to, and the Indians don't have that luxury in baseball. So when you have a superstar player, you ride him out until you can't ride him out anymore, and then you have to trade him. That's unless you're the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers or whoever. So that's just the reality of the situation. With all that said, we all know that, but we don't need our owner spouting that bullshit to everybody else. It makes it so much worse, and it makes everybody who is a fringe Tribe fan say, wait a minute, when does training camp start? And that's going to be another huge problem for the Indians. Let's say the Indians are floundering, or they're, you know, in a race with the Twins or whatever it is, and they're underachieving and they're not hitting and they're losing a lot of games 3-1, and they have great pitching and whatnot. And here comes Baker and Odell and Nick Chubb and, you know, Freddie Kitchens and the Brown Circus, right? They're going to be buried by the All-Star break. They are. Nobody is going to care. Even if things get great and there's a pennant race, you think people are still not going to show up in September. And that's the main problem. They had.
This was an opportunity. Hold on. This was an opportunity to sit, not just save face, but to, like you said, Todd, we got opening day in 4 days or 3 days to fire up the crowd and say, hey, listen, we're doing, you know, right. We're doing whatever we can to keep Frankie. And I can guarantee you we're going to be in the mix for him. And we love him and we want him to be an Indian for the rest of his career. Something like that. Would have been so much better than this. And maybe he's being too honest, and sometimes honesty is the best policy. Not always. Not always. All right?
I don't need him to be a liar and tell us, hey, don't worry, we're going to put something together. Just say exactly what you said, right? How hard could that be? Just say, we love him, we want him here for the rest of his career, and we're going to do everything within our means to give that a chance, okay? That's all you got to say. Not enjoy him. Because enjoy him, we're going to trade him before he hits the free agents, you know, before he hits free agency. That's how it goes.
Right, and I'll understand. And again, this is from Zach Meisel's article in TheAthletic.com, and I know Zach's listening. Shout out to Zach. What then would be his advice to fans who are already growing unsettled about Lindor's future in Cleveland was the question. His response was, quote, enjoy him. We control him for 3 more years. Enjoy him. And then we'll see what happens. And I asked Zach, what kind of context was that? He said it was exactly the way it was written. So the advice should have been, we need everybody, all the fans, to be on board with us for this year. But my advice is, you know, yes, enjoy him. But I wouldn't even have said enjoy him. I would have just said, look. The advice is he's an Indian, and we want him to be an Indian for life. Stick with us. That's it.
Yep, end it right there.
And I mean,
the other thing that gets really frustrating is the teams around the Indians for the last few years in our ballpark, basically the Astros, the Yankees, the Red Sox. Okay, because really it's been those four teams. Okay, the Astros take Michael Brantley off our hands. Right, they take him from us. They just extended Verlander. The Yankees are going to do what the Yankees do, and the Red Sox are going to do what the Red Sox are going to do. But we're competing with these teams, and they're literally standing idly by while they fly by us. And again, I don't want to overspend on 30-year-old free agents. You know, I actually, as much as I love Michael Brantley and would have loved to have him still, it's not good business to pay a guy who is on the wrong side of 30, who has a major injury history. I think the Indians picking up his option last year was, they did it. You and I both thought it was a terrible idea. And I think the way they looked at it this offseason was, we got a bonus year out of him. God knows what it's going to be like moving forward, and we can't take that risk. Fine. But when you are going into this offseason and you literally do nothing with that outfield and watch as the teams around you ride by because you have to cut payroll for whatever reason, because you say you don't make money. I don't want to hear the excuses, okay? If you can't hack it and you're not making money, then sell the team. And I love that they're Clevelanders, and I love the fact that, you know, they've always been about this community, they want to win for this community.
And he knows the team. And he knows the team. He knows the players. He's totally, the interviews he's done earlier talking about the guys, I love that. I do. I like that about him a lot.
This isn't a carpetbagger. This is a guy who grew up an Indians fan and now owns the team. So, I, again, there are so many things that I respect about it. But the fact remains that if you can't hack it, And you can't spend money when you're right now, when basically you have this window and you've made your team worse and it's cutting payroll. Then you and you have the audacity to tell everybody you're not making money. And oh, when we do make money, we put it back in the team. You got to get out. I'm sorry. This is a billionaire boys club. This ain't for the millionaires. It's nice. Well, and the thing is, when they say they don't make money, by the way, I actually do believe that they don't make money. But their franchise value has tripled. So they could sell the team for $1 billion and get
Correct. And some of these owners,
there's a difference there that people don't understand.
Right. And some of these owners in baseball that need to get that extra cash, like you said, to go get that extra guy, whether it's at the end of spring training, whether it's, you know, at the trade deadline, and to the Dolan's credit and to Paul's credit and to Larry's credit. Right? They have made moves when the Indians have needed it, especially at the deadline. For years, and it's appreciated. And I don't think you and I are crapping on that at all. But we are talking about maybe the best player to ever put on the uniform for us. And to just idly kind of be casual with, enjoy him for the next 3 years, that's a terrible message to send. Lindor is incredible. He's incredible. And to not even fight for him, and that's what it sounds like, and give Frankie credit. You know he's going to say all the right things, and hopefully someone coaches him up because you know this is going to get back to him. And I don't know, are they working out? I'm assuming they're going to do a workout Wednesday in Minnesota unless someone gets to him in Texas tonight to ask him about this stuff. It's just, it's bad optics, and it pisses me off. And you're right. I always thought, no, that we'll find a way. It's Lindor. We have very creative and good contracts for somebody, for guys like Carrasco and for Jose Ramirez and others. And that was well done by Dolan. And give him credit for developing this culture where a guy like Cookie wants to stay. You know,
I don't know if it's credit to the Dolans on that. More, I would give more credit to Antoinette and
Chernoff. But again, they're employed by the owner. You know, Chernoff, you know, Antoinette could have gone.
We respect the stability. They've kept these guys around forever.
Right. Antoinette.
I can go back to my old tweets, by the way, when they fired Manny Acta and things were in the toilet. And I said, it's time to sweep these guys out. They stuck with them. And look at where that took us.
Sure. And Chris could have taken the St. Louis job. You know, Chernoff was in the mix for the Mets job. I mean, come on. He grew up on Mets baseball and his dad running FAN in New York. So. With that being said, I mean, I just today felt like such a kick in the gut because, you know, and I don't want to get we're not taking personal shots. And if you're listening and you're joining us here on the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, this is not a personal attack on somebody. That's not what we are about. I've done radio for, you know, over 20 years. I sound like that Key and Peele skit. I've been in the inner city teaching for 20 years, substitute teacher. But it's true. I'm just very disappointed in the comments, and I don't like it. And, you know, he referenced in the article, Dolan referenced the Padres picking up Manny Machado and say, oh, we can't do that. Wait a minute. San Diego's in the number 29 television market. Cleveland is not. Cleveland is 19.
The other comment he made was, oh, they're wrapped themselves up in a couple of 300, you know, over $100 million players, essentially saying that this is going to come back on them at some point. Well, that's all well and good. You're just making excuses for yourself. And you shouldn't be commenting on what other teams are doing when they're actually spending the money to go for it. And it makes them even look worse. You know what I mean? Yeah, they have a smaller market. But guess what? They just gave $300 million to Manny Machado. So, and a year after giving $100 to Eric Hosmer, which is a terrible contract, but that's something they felt like they needed to do, so they did it.
Right, but and I'm not even telling Paul to go out and sign Manny Machado for that kind of cash, but you know what would have been nice? If we would have been in the mix and you say, hey, wait a minute, we're going to put in and see, and maybe just maybe someone like Manny Machado would want to come to Cleveland, you stick him at third, you move Jose to second, you ship Kipnis wherever the hell you ship him, and you show your fans that you're involved. And the Indians did not do that. You know, there were the rumors last year at the deadline. Maybe Cleveland will trade for Machado for the 1 year, and it'll be a lot of money and everything else.
Right.
Well, yeah. The Indians aren't signing Bryce Harper. But, like, you
know. No, the last year at the trade deadline, it came out a couple months ago that the Indians were trying to put a package together to get Bryce Harper at the trade deadline. But the
Washington
didn't want our prospects.
So
I will say this. what would have been Josh Donaldson signed for 1 year with the Braves for like $24 million. I am of the opinion that there's no such thing as a bad 1 year deal. If things go bad, so be it. He's off the books in a year. Would it have been the worst thing in the world to give, you know, Donaldson was here. He was already in the fold. He obviously liked his time here. What if, why couldn't they have given him 1 year and $24 million, played him in third, you know, and played and moved J Ram to second base? Would that have been the worst thing in the world?
Well,
and
then the
$24 million is too rich for your blood. Then you
Well, that's true, and that would have put the payroll over
for 1 year,
over $140 million for this year. And again, I go back to this team underachieved last year, whether the Astros cheated or not with the cameraman, whatever it was, we got our asses kicked. Okay, so that one playoff gate is a killer. And when you keep building the payroll, which is I want to give him credit for that. It's not like he cut payroll after 2016 or 2017. It was the lack of gates for 17 and 18. And the fact remains, when you've got LeBron James across the street, who is just, you know, and Anthony Castrovince, to his credit today, was on the team Dolan going up against the fans on Twitter, and Jason Lloyd and all these people.
Jason Lloyd, yeah.
And I have a ton of respect for Jason and Anthony a lot. You know, it's tough. It's tough to compete in a smallish market where not a lot of people are living downtown. There's not a walk up. You know, you got to hope for good weather and everything else. And now they're starting this, you know, the Indians are going to be playing games in April 1st at home next week? You know, the home opener against the White Sox. It'll be freezing. And you'll be there, you know. Mikey will be there. That's my old sorry.
Home opener is sold out. Where it's really going to be interesting to see is games 2 through 10. You know what I mean? In April, to see how many people are there.
Right, and it's exciting, and it's an exciting product. I still think, and we've talked about this in previous shows.
Absolutely.
I mean, you
love this team. Right?
It's very lovable. It's very likable. Whether it's Bauer being Bauer, whether it's Ramirez running around with his helmet off, Lindor. I mean, it should be very marketable. Unfortunately, baseball is dying for you know, kids our age, or not our age, but kids our kids' age that aren't really into it. The NBA is a popular sport with all the drama that they have and everything else. And then the NFL is king, and we know the NFL is king in Cleveland. I mean, that's a no brainer. And now, I mean, if you thought LeBron was an edifice in your way, Now this Berea train is rolling again. Man, oh man! I mean, that's going to be rough on the Indians, unfortunately.
No, you're 100% right. To the point that I brought up earlier, if things aren't going, you know, if things are going badly come July after that All Star break and when training camp starts, the Indians are just going to get absolutely buried in this town. They're going to get buried if they're doing well. But imagine what it would be like if they're really underachieving. It could get really ugly, and I'm a little concerned about that. So, you know, hopefully they'll come out and they'll play well and they'll put a lot of this to bed and you and I will be happy. But, you know, just today was a rough day. I completely agree. And, you know, just got to see what happens.
I mean, I think this is a good baseball team. Hopefully Ramirez's injury is nothing serious. Lindor comes back in the first week and they hold him out of a couple of series and then he's back and doing his thing. I saw the video of him the other day, hit two minor league home runs, and you know he's special. So there are special talents on this team, and I hope that Indians fans can shelve what the comments from today and put them away and focus on baseball and a big series to open the season against a rival, and the only team I think that can compete with them in the division. And like you said, you win with pitching. This team's got a deep starting five. And we'll go from there. But today just ticked me off. And for Indians fans that have always been on the Dolan's cheap bandwagon, and this owner's not serious, they're all riding high today because he fed them applesauce today. He did,
and they ate it up. You should see my mentions and your mentions, I'm sure, as well. The amount of people who said to me, "I'm the only way to stop these guys is with your checkbook." I saw that a lot. You know, stop paying for that product. If you don't like it, the only way to hurt these guys is to stop showing up. Don't pay. I mean, I'm not going to do that. But there are a lot of people out there that are going to do that. And these comments do not help.
No.
And you know what? You got to bring fans in, not push them away.
Right, right. And you know, actions do speak louder than words. And yes, they went out and got Carlos Gonzalez, and they're going to pay a major league salary for Hanley Ramirez, and that's all well and good. But what have you done for me lately? Now it's this cloud of an article and some comments that's going to kind of hover over the city for a little while and bring, like you said, that Dolan's Cheap crowd back out. And quite honestly, I can't shush them this time. I can't.
And that's saying a lot that you and I can't defend it. So.
All right.
Anything good happen to you today?
What's that?
Anything good happen today?
Anything good happen today? I don't know. These Mondays.
I got my fantasy draft tomorrow night.
There you go.
Baseball draft.
These Mondays.
Sixth pick.
I had the fifth. I had the fifth pick in my All-National League draft, and it was consistent. Like I was always in the middle, so I never had like the double picks or any long waits. So it was. It was all right. I mean, let's hope for the best. Let's you and I return later in the week. Should we do something on Wednesday, kind of a preview?
Yes. Let's do a Wednesday, no Dolan talk, only on the field talk, season preview.
A little bit of that yam talk. Oh, I'm exhausted now. I'm gonna go heat up a frozen
that
pizza.
That opening rant was something else, baby.
I'm so serious.
That was one for the books.
It's true. People don't. I mean, and I appreciate the love you gave me. It's true. I mean,
Bob Derry-esque passion.
You know how many times?
I mean, you would be proud.
Do people know where I sometimes watch these games on my phone? You wouldn't even believe where I've gone. I mean, to
that's why I had to tell them. I had to let them know. You're a sick man. You love your tribe. You bleed Wahoo red, white, and blue.
4 o'clock on Thursday. I mean, it's a point. It's an appointment. Every pitch.
Yes,
there's no way I'll miss it. No way. So
if someone asked me, I can't remember who it was, but you know, I heavily tweet during the games. And someone asked me, like, how many games do you think you miss a year? I would say, you know, just with travel and stuff. But when I'm on the road, I usually watch it. But if it's, you know, I would say out of 162, I would say I watch every inning of 135 to 140. And I attend between 45 and 50 live a year. I'd say that's a fair assessment.
That's pretty crazy.
Qualified.
That's pretty. Yeah. I love when people talk about you know how you can't watch every game and it's too long of a season and it's 162 games. I mean, I think we are in the minority. That's for sure. The wife and I usually have a chat. Usually it's about like July 20th or 21st. And we get closer to maybe August and she gives me the old, how many more games left, you know, to chat, because she just knows, like she's such a trooper. She's had to sit through them all just like your wife has. And, you know, I remember last summer when we were watching one of these games and my daughter's like, can we watch something else? And I'm like, Reese, no. So, like, you know, it's like, and she likes the team. And your daughter, oh, my God, loves the team.
That's right. I was going to say, you know, both my kids, they're right along there with me for the ride. I mean, they're fighting to see who gets to go to the games with me. And, you know, they're 25 plus a year for at least for the last 4 years. So, you know, they're fired up. We had a big fight over who was going to the home opener.
Oh, geez.
Andrew gets to go this year because Brooke got to go last year. So don't worry. There's always game two. We have plenty more. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but we play two Sunday night games in April, one at home against Atlanta and one on the road.
Yeah, there's one against the Astros. Yeah.
Astros is the other one. Yeah, but the Atlanta Sunday game, which I will be attending, is a Sunday night baseball tilt.
That'll be good.
Which is, of course, interesting considering the fact that you would think that they wouldn't put us at home on a Sunday night in April, giving us an additional cold April night game.
The sport, like you said earlier, the sport is broken in a lot of different ways, whether it's financial, whether it's Manfred and how he's running things, and the schedule maker is ridiculous. You know, the fact that the Minnesota Twins are playing a home game this Thursday is preposterous, and I understand you want divisional battles and rivalries out of the gate, but you know, when the Angels and Mariners are playing in the dome, that's just stupid. That's just dumb. Send teams out west. Send you know, these Midwestern teams and East teams out west, but they don't do it, and they'll pay for it if there's a lot of snow outs, cold outs, and rain outs. It'll it'll hurt the gate and everything else, but doesn't seem like, hey, as long as the Red Sox and Yankees are on every week on national TV, I guess that's what the league wants. So, all right, we'll reconvene.
Snow. You mean snow in Los Angeles?
That's right. We'll it's L.A. Nobody leaves. All right, so we'll reconvene Wednesday. This has been an emergency edition of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. Thanks to our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com and Groove Ride. Check them out online as well at Groove Ride. That's RYDE.com. Todd will have more on that on Wednesday. All right, man. Better. We'll be in a better mood on Wednesday, right?
One can only hope.
See you Wednesday, everybody. Thanks for listening.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.